Stanley Glickman was a promising young painter studying art in Paris. He was not politically involved in any way and was not an activist of any kind. He was an art student in love, planning a future. Glickman encountered some well-dressed Americans in a cafe in Paris. After a discussion that resulted in a disagreement, Glickman agreed to a round of drinks as a peace offering. The man who purchased the round of drinks and served Glickman's drink to him turned out to be the notorious MKUltra operative Sidney Gottlieb. Likely due to drugs placed in his drink, Glickman suffered intense hallucinations that resulted in his being admitted to the psychiatric ward of a hospital, where he was further subjected to more hallucinogens and electroshock treatments by CIA operatives. Stanley Glickman never recovered from the experiments and was dependent on his family to take care of him until his eventual death. Stanley Glickman's crime: Sidney Gottlieb wanted a guinea pig, and Stanley Glickman was in the wrong cafe at the wrong time. Why am I talking about a victim of MKUltra and the CIA's experiments when the topic was a heart attack gun? Because Stanley Glickman was tortured and murdered to satisfy the curiosity and ego of an operative of the state, and others assisted in this dreadful crime simply because they were told to do so. Stanley Glickman was tortured because people were obedient and did their jobs. This is the nature of the people who now possess weapons that can both see through walls and kill you without leaving any trace of how it was accomplished. Stanley Glickman's engagement in a conversation and his opinion ran contrary to that of a CIA agent. The CIA agent possessed a weapon and used it on Stanley Glickman for the exact same reason a SWAT team uses a MRAP to serve a court summons for a parking violation, because children will play new games when given new toys. Demented children play demented games. Given the small set of examples listed here, and understanding that I could continue listing examples for thousands of pages, one must come to the conclusion that we are not struggling against people who are simply confused about freedom and rights. We are fighting evil in its pure form. We cannot play nice. We cannot expect to reason with these demented servants of the state any more than we can reason with those to whom governments of the world owe some $57 trillion, CIA World Factbook. Our logic will not reach them. Our pleas mean nothing to them. Joining them and trying to use them to do our bidding will only make us like them. It is only once you view the reality of police and government servants as being an occupation army serving their political masters that their savagery begins to make sense. Once you begin to view the political establishment as nothing but puppets serving the international money masters, the whole beast begins to make sense. The hard fact is that we have but one and only one choice: bring this beast and its enforcers down before they turn this planet into a radioactive ash heap. Humanity is at war, but sadly few humans realize the battlefield, the armies, or the stakes.
Now, what is the moral code of altruism? The basic principle of altruism is that man has no right to exist for his own sake, that service to others is the only justification of his existence, and that self-sacrifice is his highest moral duty, virtue, and value. Do not confuse altruism with kindness, goodwill, or respect for the rights of others. These are not primaries, but consequences, which in fact altruism makes impossible. The irreducible primary of altruism, the basic absolute, is self-sacrifice, which means self-immolation, self-abnegation, self-denial, self-destruction, which means the self as a standard of evil, the selfless as a standard of the good. Do not hide behind such superficialities as whether you should or should not give a dime to a beggar. That is not the issue. The issue is whether you do or do not have the right to exist without giving him that dime. The issue is whether you must keep buying your life dime by dime from any beggar who might choose to approach you. The issue is whether the need of others is the first mortgage on your life and the moral purpose of your existence. The issue is whether man is to be regarded as a sacrificial animal. Any man of self-esteem will answer no. Altruism says yes. Now, there is one word, a single word, which can blast the morality of altruism out of existence and which it cannot withstand. The word why. Why must man live for the sake of others? Why must he be a sacrificial animal? Why is that the good? There is no earthly reason for it. And, ladies and gentlemen, in the whole history of philosophy, no earthly reason has ever been given.
Why are you playing? If the fun is gone, then what keeps you staying? Why do you allow your heart to keep decaying? You don't have to let yourself get so low. It's time to take back your power. No more complaining and being sour. If you don't fight now, you'll be devoured. You don't have to live so low. You gotta be grooving, 'cause we're not planning on losing. What do you get from refusing? Get your body moving. I know it may seem hard, but all you gotta do is move with the rhythm of your heart. Get your body moving, act like you wanna win. It's time to awaken that fire within. You may feel tired from taking it on the chin, but it's time to stop letting them under your skin. If you're fighting,
welcome back to another paid episode. Apologies on taking a while. I think I'm like just starting to like get back to 100% after the conference. I'll be honest. I went hard. It's probably the hardest I ever went at a conference. It was a ton of fun, but you know, when you go hard, you got to recover. And so I'm just getting back into a groove. Before I'm going to get out of a groove again, the rest of the year is going to be real busy, but I'll try and keep on cranking these out. I've been thinking a lot about this episode and how I want to do it. And, you know, per usual, I've recorded a few times and scrapped it all. And I think if I just, you know, organize my thoughts better going into it, it'll be good. But I also think just kind of like rambling out loud and listening to my rambles and organizing them is a part of the process. You know, but the two clips in the beginning, one was an interview with Ayn Rand and the other was a clip from the audiobook Sedition, Subversion, Sabotage by Ben Stone, which is a, you know, very interesting book. And I'll probably be clipping sections of it throughout, you know, future episodes because I think it's really helpful context. And if you never heard of this book, you never read it, I would say it's one of the more important books I've ever read in my life. For just understanding how to, you know, take effective action in general. And it's how I found my friend Rayo with Liberty Under Attack Publications, because he was the one that produced the audiobook. And a friend told me about this book years and years and years ago. I went looking for it. I found the audiobook on his website and then, you know, reached out to him because I thought his website was cool. I think non-KYC books are cool. You may hear me periodically talk about him. I do a music show every other Monday night for his radio network, the online radio network, the Pasadena Radio Network. But yeah, anyways, great book. I'll talk about some of the ideas in it, but you know, one of the aspects of being effective is you have to have a semblance of what's right or wrong or good and healthy, or, you know, who your friends are and who your enemies are. And it's not always the easiest thing to determine in the world because people are duplicitous. They represent themselves in ways that they aren't actually. There is a lot of just like underhanded stuff going on in the world. You know, there's individuals that misrepresent their intentions. And, you know, one of the things that I like to do, you know, with people that I'm close with is just constantly be explaining what my intentions are. Because, and I do it in a genuine way. I don't like misrepresent things in order to try and be manipulative, but I do it because it builds trust. If I know what somebody is trying to get out of an interaction with me and I understand it, I'm not having to question it, I feel like I can trust them more or work with them more. Even if I like don't really particularly care for what their intentions are, at least I know where they're standing and I know how to respond effectively. And so, you know, I try to do the same with others, you know, people that I care about. And so my intention, I think I've talked about my intentions with these episodes, but my intentions are ultimately to share ideas that hopefully you find are helpful to think about or implement in your life so that you can be more effective in whatever you're doing. And if you're listening to this, you're either keeping tabs on me, trying to influence me, you know, for whatever your goals are, or you genuinely value this stuff. And so I'm speaking to people that are genuinely valuing this stuff, the people that are trying to, you know, manipulate or influence me, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know, good luck. But it's important to understand who your enemy is. And
this has been a preview of Richard Griesser's premium episode on having a winning mindset. If you would like to listen to the full episode, you can either become a paid subscriber to the Bugle Weekly or purchase this episode on the Fountain app. Thank you for being a listener to the Bugle Weekly and supporting credentialed journalism.